Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
You're still listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, for many of us, there was a time in our lives when we thought load shedding was the everyday reality. And truth be told, it was for a substantial period of 2022. However, at the end of 2022, we saw Eskom seeing the appointment of a board which was in charge of ensuring that they manage the turnaround of the entity through the necessary executive appointments, but also leading and steering the group with discipline, leadership, governance, and lasting levels of reform. Well, since then, I think it's been a long time since all of us have actually referenced stage 4, 5, or 6 as reasons for load shedding or power failures in our homes and businesses. And more than anything, we've also seen the level of resilience that this has contributed to various sectors of South Africa's economy. Mining, industrial, manufacturing, and of course, keeping SMMEs afloat. To help us contextualize the growth, the transition of the board term that is now going to take place at Eskom, we joined by Eskom chairperson of the board, Babumthetho Nyathi, joining us in that capacity tonight. Babu Nyathi, such a pleasure to have you back on Kaya Biz. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Excited to speak to you as always. I do recall that we've engaged in conversations with you wearing many hats, but tonight it's specifically focused on Eskom and the fact that the board has now reached the end of its tenure at the 30th of November being yesterday. And there's an opportunity for us to reflect on some of the shifts and changes that have taken place. And maybe let's just start there. I can imagine that at the height of October 2022, where stage 4 load shedding was a norm, energy availability capacity was a challenge for many of the plants. This was quite a steep challenge. As you reflect on how far we've come in 3 years, what are your observations?
Yes, indeed. It was a huge challenge back in October 2022. Many of us will remember that our president was actually visiting the US and the UK at the time, and he had to cut his visit short because there was a crisis back home. Immediately after that, they had to put together and assemble a group of people whose responsibility was to help fix Eskom. And that's where we came in. And none of us had raised our hands and said that we want to be part of this board. We never applied for it. We were busy with our own things. We would have been happy to continue to do the things that we're doing, but we were asked to come and help. And indeed, we did that. We engaged. We decided we are going to be an engaged board, meaning we are going to roll up our sleeves. We are going to go to the plants, help understand what is the root of the problem. And we managed to get to the root of the problem within a month to understand what the issues were, largely coming from the people of Eskom, helping us to understand what those issues were. And that helped a lot. Because it meant that we did not have to get the buy-in. People already knew what they needed to be done. All we needed to do as the board was to provide them with the leadership, with the resources that they needed, and also to drive discipline to make sure that the things that they said they were going to do, they do those, and they do them with a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And where we are now, 3 years later, load shedding is something of the past. We do not even want to remember it. And but to me, it shows how much by putting the right people in place, giving those people the space for them to do what they know what to do, and allowing them to drive the necessary actions, it can turn many of our state-owned enterprises around. Mm. We have got the relevant people in our country to fix our country. We just need to give them the opportunities to do so.
Babumthetho, what you're highlighting is such a critical issue, because for a large contingent of the public, there's a misunderstanding that we don't have the adequate talent locally. But as you bring that to the fore, I'm also keen to understand how you highlight the issue of governance, because as we know, many of our state-owned entities, including the likes of Eskom, have often been challenged by concerns of financial leakages and malfeasance. The balance between adequate talent management, but also a sense of accountability to maintain positive governance. How is that reached from a board level and ensuring that it trickles down to everyday operations?
Yeah, you know, we should never mistake people who are capable, and we then think that those same people are also ethical.
Yes.
You need to actually have both in the people that you appoint on the board. That was the beauty of this board. We really had ethical leaders here who were also capable. And what we did up front was to say that when it comes to vetting, we are not going to be asking management to do vetting. We need to do it ourselves as the board. We need to go through the process, the SSA. It is such an intrusive process, really going to all sorts of detail. But at the end of the day, we wanted to say to management that, hey, what we're asking you to do, the lifestyle audit that we're asking you to do, we have done it ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're clean, you know. And so it's just the setting the right tone from the top. And then appointing also as management the right leaders. Dan Marokane, this is someone who left Eskom because he did not want to participate in wrong activities that he was being asked to do. He left and he was the right kind of person to bring in because he had proven that he is an ethical leader and someone who stands by certain principles. Mm-hmm. And surrounding him with similar kind of leaders as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to systems, you make sure our systems in Eskom had been weakened deliberately. Our SAP system, which is an enterprise resource planning, had been deliberately weakened. So we consistently and every day working on strengthening the controls within the system. And we are not there yet. I cannot lie here and say that we are done. It is such a huge amount of work that was done to destroy Eskom. So it's going to take a long time to do so, to fix it. But we are certainly well on our way to strengthening the controls within Eskom.
Got you. Something else that is quite critical is, of course, how you've managed to increase capacity. I understand that we've seen a significant recovery of electricity supply reliability. It sat at levels of about 9% in 2022-23, now sits at 98% year-to-date in the year 24-25. This is substantial and not something to be scoffed at, and I believe has a lot to do with the investment and prioritization of energy infrastructure and the maintenance thereof in order to reduce your energy availability capacity. If you may talk us through some of these themes, Babumthetho, especially how this will continue to be maintained but more so heightened, especially on the back of what we've seen coming out of the B20, several recommendations being made in particular by the Energy Mix and Just Transition Task Force, who highlighted the fact that we need sufficient investment in our energy infrastructure, but also liberalizing the participation of this network. I'm quite keen to get your thoughts on sustainability. We've done well. How do we do better?
Yes. So at the end of the day, if you look at our problems, what were our problems? You could sum it into one thing: discipline or lack of discipline. Eskom is an engineering company. What it means is that there are standard operating procedures that need to be followed. If you do not follow those procedures, certainly things are going to go wrong, like your car. They say that you need to service your car after, let's say, 10,000 kilometers. If you choose to skip those and move to servicing it now after 50,000 kilometers, you are going to be in trouble. You know, so there are certain things that you just have to do. And we had to focus on doing exactly that. At the same time, we had to make sure that we, when these machines are being maintained, we use the right kind of resources or companies to maintain them. What we had established is that many of the companies that we're using, they did not have the skills. So we re-established our relationship with what is called OEMs, which is original equipment manufacturer. If you're buying a car from Toyota, you want it to be serviced by Toyota, not by a backyard mechanic who does not even have the qualification. So that's what we did. you know, focused on that, and we gave management the necessary financial resources to buy the quality spares, not spares that are fake. And all of these things are things that talk to discipline that I was mentioning. So where we are now, we just have to continue to do what we're doing. We know that in December, this is the time for us to be doing most of the maintenance, and we've planned to do maintenance because that's the time when we have got the least amount of demand in terms of the network. And that's what we're planned to do. Mm-hmm. When we come back in January, we'll bring back these machines back online. Going forward, though, it's not just about maintaining the old equipment. Yes. It is also about building new. And what we have done, we've appointed a leader that is leading what we call Eskom Green, that is responsible for building capacity in solar and in wind. And that helps Eskom to move into the new sources of energy. As we go forward, that's going to be what we're going to be doing. And we have also put together a key initiative called CORE, Cost Optimization and Revenue Enhancement Program, that is supposed to take about 112 billion rands of costs out of the system so that we do not increase the prices of electricity going forward. So those are the key projects that we are driving, and that will make sure that Eskom remains relevant, reliable, and also sustainable going forward.
That's refreshing to hear, especially in terms of the continuity of key executive leaders like Dan Marokane, the CEO, Caleb Kasim, Group CFO, and as you've mentioned, the renewables structure that is also focused by Rivo Mnisi. I am keen, Babumthetho, to also get your thoughts and perspective on what happens next, especially from a leadership point of view. We understand that the term for the board has come to an end from the 30th of November. You are still going to serve until your capacity and contract ends in October 2026. But what do we need to be mindful of as key stakeholders, clients, customers, and South Africans with a vested interest in the success of Eskom? Babunyati, I'm hoping you can hear us. Seems as though we have a challenge with the audio there. Well, we are in conversation with Babumthetho Ngiyathi. He is the board chairperson of Eskom, joining us to help us reflect on some of the milestones that have been made by the current board. As you've heard, ongoing levels of investment in the maintenance and infrastructure. We've come a long way, and we've done incredibly well since October 2022, when this particular board was appointed, and essentially helping to minimize the impact of a lack of energy reliability or availability, as the metric typically is. Ongoing investment as well into adequate leadership, and our talent pool is sufficient enough to keep Eskom going, heightening levels of governance and control, which continues to be an area of focus, and of course, key investment in infrastructure. Babunyati, I'm hoping that you can still hear us. We had a slight glitch in the line, but I guess to close off with, what do we need to be mindful of as South Africans in terms of going forward in the board changes? Ah, I'll tell you what. Seems as though we've lost Babunyati there, unfortunately, due to the line. But also, he's a man in demand. Everyone wants to speak to him. So thank you to him and the Eskom team for giving us time and giving us feedback. It is a conversation that will continue. And just for clarity, Mthetho Ngiyathi will continue as the Eskom board chairperson till October 2026. In the meantime, though, we do understand that a new board will be appointed to ensure sufficient transition of leadership of the board. But key executive leadership positions, like that of CEO Dan Marokane, remain. Caleb Kasim, Group Chief Financial Officer, will also still maintain his position there. So that ensures that there's a level of sustainability, right, and continuity, including the various executives who are at the helm of various operations at Eskom. We see you from the distribution, generation executives, technology, information technology, and the chief people officer. We don't take your efforts for granted, as we understand the growth, the drive, and the commitment that has been made to keep the lights on. But share your thoughts with us and your reflections as a South African consumer. What do you make life after load shedding? As mentioned, it hasn't come to a full end, but boy oh boy, have we made progress. From stage four back in 2022 to no stages in 2025. Share your thoughts with us. 063-688-0959. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.